Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Encuentro. It is Thursday of the fourth week of Advent. Let's begin with a prayer of Saint Francis. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, make me a means of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there's sadness, let me bring joy. Divine Master, grant that I may seek not so much to be consoled, but to console. Not so much to be understood, but to understand. Not so much to be loved, but to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in forgiving that we are forgiven, and it is in dying to ourselves that we are born to eternal life. Amen. And so today is the 23rd of December. Can you believe that? We are so close to Christmas Day. It's so fascinating how time, just zips by so quickly. Our gospel reading for today is taken from St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 57 to 66. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah, after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. Zechariah asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name." And they were all amazed. And immediately Zechariah's mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." What's in a name? A couple years ago, when I was a young seminarian, I remember this priest who was a friend of mine who did ministry to the natives in the hinterlands and who told me this story about baptizing babies of parents, many of whom couldn't read or write. Or in this particular case, the father, also a native of the area, had just started learning to read. And he was fond of reading everything that he saw, billboards, posters in stores, everything. And so the priest who was baptizing the baby says to the people gathered there, and the father, of course, was there. He says, "Ano ang pangalan ng anak mo?" The priest asked, to which the proud father replied, "Cortal po, Cortal." Now, Cortal was a brand of pain medicine at that time. If I remember correctly, I don't think it's available in pharmacies anymore. But apparently, this father, who had just learned to read, saw a poster of this pain medication at the local drugstore, and I guess he found it fascinating. And so he wanted to give his son the name of a pain medication. And so the priest was, he was surprised and shocked. He says, "Ano? Anong sabi mo? Anong pangalan ng anak mo?" And the proud father responded, "Cortal po, Cortal." And the priest says to him, at least this was his story to me, he says, "Hindi. Ano ba namang pangalan yan? Kawawa naman ang anak mo paglaki niyan. Bakit pangalan ng gamot ang ibibigay mo? Why give your child the name of a pain medication, what's going to happen to him when he grows up?" And of course, the man couldn't answer, and he was just scratching his head. And he was probably becoming more and more aware of the error that he was about to foist on his son for the rest of his life. So he kind of looked sheepishly at the priest and said, "Ano pong pangalan ibibigay ko sa kanya? What name am I going to give him?" And the priest says, Jose ang pangalan ng anak mo." And the father lit up and he had a big smile on his face and he says to the priest, "Sige po, Jose po ang pangalan niya." And so somewhere in the hinterlands of Zambales today, there's a man who's named Jose, who could have ended up being called Cortal had the priest not intervened. True story. What's in a name? What's in a name? You know, I was named after Ferdinand Marcos by my parents, who admired the old dictator for his intelligence. Not for other things, mind you, but just for his brains. And so they gave me that name, you know. Though in my travels all across the planet, you know, when I'm asked by people where I got my name, you know, or after whom was I named, I'd say, well, you know, I was named after the first man who circumnavigated the globe, you know, Ferdinand Magellan. But that's not exactly a name that one can truly be proud of. After all, you know, he was killed by Lapu-Lapu. So what's in a name? You know, names have meanings, and our names pretty much capture who we are. Imagine if you had been given another name, you know? What personality would you have if your name was something other than what you now have? You know, I was born on the feast day of St. Martin of Tours, and sometimes I wish my parents had called me Martin instead. But the name they gave me is my name, whether I like it or not. I can change it if I want, like some people do. But the fact remains that for the longest time, it was the name by which I was called. It was the name I was given at my baptism. It's the name that I believe the Lord also calls me by. John is his name, Elizabeth declares to the astonishment of their relatives and neighbors who were there and who were wondering why he wasn't being called Zechariah like his dad. You know, that was common practice back then. Surely, Elizabeth must be mistaken. But then Zechariah was still unable to speak at that point, you know, asks for a tablet and he writes the name of the child. John is his name, he writes. Now, the name John means God is gracious, and that God has given John, the boy, as his gift. Because the child was the answer to the prayers of Zechariah and Elizabeth, who had been childless. You see, childlessness was regarded as a disgrace in Israel. A man who had no heir might as well regard himself as dead. And some rabbis actually taught that. And it was a tremendous shame for married couples, therefore, to not bear any children. And so we can understand why Elizabeth, in the 25th verse of chapter 1 of Luke, says, "The Lord has taken away my shame." The Lord has taken away my shame by being able to bear a son. The Lord took away your shame. But there's a line in the gospel passage that's equally fascinating. You know, the neighbors, after hearing that the child was not going to be named Zechariah, but was going to be named John, and after hearing of all the wonders that surrounded, you know, the birth and the naming of the child, they asked a question. They said, well, what will this child be? You know, so they were wondering, what will this child be in the future? You know, with all of these amazing things happening, what will this child be? You know, whenever I meet young children or even young students that I teach, I usually imagine what they will become as adults, meaning what kind of man or woman or person will this young child become? I mean, there's so much hope in children. You know, you meet students who are extremely bright, extremely talented, and you wonder, you know, what amazing things will this young man or young woman do in the future as an adult? There's so much hope in children, which is why if you're a parent, know that your child is a precious gift from the Lord, because that's really what they are. And you should do everything you can to nurture, protect, safeguard, and develop that gift. Why? Your children will be your legacy. But whenever I meet an adult as well who is either in tremendous pain or having serious problems, I find myself asking, I wonder what he or she was like as a child. You know, from time to time I encounter homeless people on the street, and you know, and sometimes, you know, they have mental problems. And from time to time, you know, I would help some of them. And I couldn't help but ask that question sometimes. I wonder what this man or this woman was like as a child. Surely he or she was not like this, you know, from the very beginning. Surely he was a child who played, who studied, who had great dreams and hopes, you know, when he or she would grow up. So, you know, I wonder what happened. I would think of that from time to time. Or one time, I was counseling adult siblings, yeah, who were squabbling over their inheritance. And the squabbles were getting pretty serious and ugly. And they asked me to sort of help them out so that, you know, the ill will could be lessened a little bit, maybe. So at one point, the conversation was getting a little too tense. The exchange among the siblings was getting a little unpleasant. So at one point, you know, I asked a simple question. I jumped right in and I asked a question. I said, "Did you guys play when you were kids?" And suddenly they stopped, you know, the exchange. And so I continued. I said, "Do you guys remember what your favorite games were when you were kids?" And I guess that threw them off because nobody answered the question. And they stopped the rather unpleasant exchange. And there was a couple minutes of silence, actually. There were rather awkward couple minutes of silence. And until one of them, the youngest, you know, probably to kind of break the awkwardness, she had a smile on her face and she said, "We used to play Pico a lot. You know, it's this game that kids play, Pico." And then, you know, she had a big smile on her face. And then one of the sisters jumped in. No. She says, no. "We used to play Taguan a lot. Remember, we used to play Taguan," which is hide and seek, until Nanay would call us in because it's time to pray the Angelus. It was just 6 p.m. That broke the tension. You know, suddenly these squabbling siblings, were all adults, were just siblings. And they sat there reminiscing their happy days as kids. I wonder what happened to these guys, I thought. I wonder what happened to them. They were kids once. They were all friends once. They were playmates once. I wonder what happened. Of course, they grew up. That's what happened. Life happened. When we were baptized, we were given our names. You know, the name by which God has called us ever since. The name by which our family and friends and colleagues have called us. When we were given our names, that name contained tremendous hope, great potential, and a lot of possibility. But then life happened to us. And a lot of that hope, potential, and possibility was often forgotten or set aside. It's a couple days to Christmas, 2 days actually. On that day, we commemorate the birth of a child who was also given a name, Jesus. And that child grew up to become a truly good human being, a man who gave his life in the service of others, because that's what God had destined him to be. That's what God wanted him to be. Have we perhaps forgotten who we were destined to be? Have we perhaps forgotten who we wanted to be when we were kids? What we wanted to be? Have our hopes and visions and dreams perhaps fallen by the wayside? Made dim by life and its difficulties, its problems and challenges? Have we perhaps given up on our possibilities and potentials? Have we settled for less? Have we settled for less? What's in a name? A lot, actually. You know, in that one word is contained potential, possibility, and hope. When our name was given to us, it contained the seeds of what God, our parents, and the world had hoped we would turn out to be. May the birth of the Christ child, who was given the name Jesus, remind each one of us of our own names, the name we were given, the name by which God continues to call us, a name that once, when we were children, when we were baptized as infants, a name that once contained great hope, tremendous potential, and amazing possibility. May we never forget that, no matter how old we've become.